You would open your Bibles to Luke 6 is where we're at. Luke chapter 6. We want to look at today staying out of the ditch. On a Friday night, we were down in Kansas. My wife had a surprise birthday party down in Kansas, and we were about 11:30 or so. We're sitting around the living room of her parents' house. Her brother and sister-in-law were there, and the lights were on. And the dog starts barking. There's a knock at the door. 11:30. They live out in the country. No house is probably a half mile away or so. And a lady was outside by herself. She was shaking and trembling, and she had alcohol in her breath. And she was stumbling out in the yard. It had wind that blew down sticks and stuff, and so she couldn't see, and she was drunk, and so she's fallen over and wanted some cigarettes. First thing she wanted. But she was in the ditch. They've got like 7 inches of rain multiple times in there. Just floods everywhere down there. And ditches are full of water. And she decided that she would make a U-turn through the ditch. And just her caravan, we went down and saw it later, 2 miles down the road, was just sunk down in the water in the ditch. Well, not water, but in the mud. And so no judgment there. But she basically, she was in the ditch. She was living her life, you know, blindly. I mean, just walking in darkness, stumbling over things. And Ashley commented, because she knew what I was preaching on, the blind leading the blind this week, and that, I mean, she literally was in the ditch. She literally was walking in darkness, couldn't see what she was doing. And Ashley and I were able to take her into town and drop her off at one of her friend's house. And I mean, we could see where we were going. We knew what we were going. We were in our right mind. We were talking to her, and she could tell. We could tell she was blind. And the Bible says the God of this world, which, speaking of Satan, the God with the small g, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And this lady, she was my age. She went to school at a neighboring rival school, so I knew some of the people she knew, and she was blind. She was talking about how lucky we are to have, you know, a marriage that's lasted 11 years, how nice we are and how you don't meet people like that. And she told us, she wouldn't go into details, but I mean, her life, everything that could have gone wrong had gone wrong in the last year. She had 3 children and she's out drunk on a country road in the middle of the night. And I mean, she's walking in darkness, yet she could see, you know, our life, see their life. But when I brought up the name of Jesus Christ, her attitude changed. I said, "Do you know Jesus?" She said, "Really? Really? You're going to talk about that now?" I mean, a hostile attitude. And I said, "Well, not if you don't want to." And I mean, she was not in an attitude at all to take that. And so you would think that a person who's just literally fell in the ditch, who literally is drunk and stumbling and is riding in a vehicle with people that aren't drunk, that aren't stumbling, that aren't, they would see their need, but there's a blindness. And this lady was blind, and she's blinded by the God of this world, by Satan, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto her. And it's just like when we're driving down the road and we can see in our, you know, our left-hand rearview mirror, we can see all things behind us. We can see all the landscape, all that kind of stuff, but there's a spot there that we cannot see. We're blinded to. There could be a car right beside us in our blind spot. We can't see them, even though we're looking in the mirror. And it's like that lady, she should have been able to see the state she was in and to see that Jesus Christ is the only hope that she would have, but she wanted nothing to do with Jesus. She was blinded to that. And we don't want to be blind. We don't want to walk in darkness. We want to be able to see. We want to walk in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light, and He is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So we don't want to be blind. We do not want to be led by those that are blind. And that's what we're going to read about today at the end of the Sermon on the Plain that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 6. So I would ask you, in Luke chapter 6, we'll begin with verse 39. If you are able to stand, would you stand with me? We'll read from the Word of God. We know that these words are pure words, that we are to live by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we're going to read from Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 39. We'll read a few verses. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, it says, "And Jesus, and He spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind?
Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. We're going to continue on through there, but let's stop there and pray, and we'll ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, would you help us today to hear your word, to read your word. Help me as I preach your word. Help me to preach it faithfully, and that we could apply this to our lives, and that we could not be blind, that we could have the true light, your Son Jesus Christ, shining in our hearts, that we can see clearly where we're going, and we can see clearly what the world's all about, and we can see clearly what your word says. Help us to walk in that light, and help us not to be following those that are blind, because we know there are people that come into the church, people that will try to lead us, but it's the blind leading the blind. Help us, Lord, to be able to see that, to recognize that, and to follow you and to stand on your promises and on your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So before we become believers, we are blind. And so that means none of us are born as believers. We must be born again as a believer. So we've all been blind in some time past. Maybe some of us here today have not personally repented toward God and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we still are walking in darkness. We're still blind. We're still blinded by the god of this world. But we do know that God wants to save those that are blind. God doesn't say, well, they're blind, I don't care about them. Jesus Christ, in his first sermon, the first time he spoke out in his ministry, he was sitting in a synagogue back in his hometown, and he read from Isaiah. And we can see that in Luke chapter 4. So turn back a few pages to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. But Jesus, speaking of himself, saying that he is fulfilling this prophecy, we read in verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." He cares about the poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." He cares about the brokenhearted. The Montgomery family, he cares about the brokenhearted. He came to heal those that are brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. And so Jesus Christ came to preach and to help us recover our sight. We're blinded by the god of this world. But Jesus doesn't just want us to stay blinded. He wants to preach and help us recover our sight. We know that in John chapter 9, he helped a blind man regain his sight. And that blind man says, "I don't know who he is or what you Pharisees think about it, but I know that I once was blind, but now I see." And that should be the case with all of us. If we can look back in our life and see when we were blind, but when the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, when he came into our life, now we can see, that's evidence that we've been born again. But if we can't look back on that, we maybe are still walking in darkness. But before our rebirth, before our new birth, before being born again, the Bible says our understanding is darkened. In Ephesians 4:18, we're having our understandings darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. And so we literally are walking around blind before we come to Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ came to give us light. In John 12, he says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Praise the Lord, we don't have to abide in darkness. We don't have to stumble around falling over sticks that you should be able to see, because we have the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We don't have to walk in darkness. God is the one who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. And the light overpowers the darkness. Right? And the darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness cannot overcome it. We could turn off the lights and somebody could shine a flashlight which would overpower that darkness, but nobody can come in this room that's full of light and shine a dark light and overpower the light, can they? You can't have a dark light that can shine a black thing there, because light is more powerful than darkness. God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. And the preaching of the gospel comes so that we can be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God. And so if we've done that, if we have our sight, if we've had those scales from our eyes removed, we want to walk in the light of His Word. And so we should no longer be as Christians, as believers. We know we came out of a world of darkness. We don't want to turn back to that world that is dark, that's blind, that's blinded by God, by the god of this world, Satan. We don't want to turn back to that world and follow that. That would be the blind leading us. I would never, that lady that came to the door, I would never follow her where she was going. You know, I wouldn't say, yeah, I'm going to be your follower. No, I know she's blind. I know she doesn't see. I know she's drunk. I know she's stumbling. So same way for us as Christians, once we're called out of darkness into this light, we should not as Christians turn back to the world and ask the world to lead us and to follow the world's teachings and the world's, you know, solutions to problems. We don't need the answer from worldly psychology or worldly, you know, self-help books and these kind of things. We have all we need in the Word of God. And so as Christians, we should not go back to where we came from and follow those blind leaders. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. We have the Holy Spirit of God to lead us, to guide us. And so we are no longer blind. It doesn't make sense for us to follow those that are blind. So no matter what the letters at the end of somebody's names, the scholars of this world, if they're not in Jesus Christ, they don't have the light of the world in their hearts. They're walking in darkness. It doesn't matter how famous somebody is, how, you know, many awards they've won, how much money they have. We don't want to follow them because we understand we don't follow the blind. We want to follow Christ. We want to follow His Word. And so, as believers, we understand we don't want to look back to the world to guide us. That'd be the blind leading us. And that doesn't make sense. But there are those that will come into the church. There are those that will come in and under the name of Christ and could lead us, but they could lead us into a ditch. Now, God has provided us each other as a group. We're not to be Lone Ranger Christians and just do it all. God's provided a church, a fellowship of Christians to sharpen one another, to encourage one another, to comfort one another, to laugh with one another, to bear one another's burdens, to rebuke one another, to bring one another, correct one another, put them back on the right path. We have to be careful who we follow in the church because God has provided leaders in the church. He's provided people to rule the church called pastors or elders or bishops. I believe they're all the same word here in the Bible. And so we have those people that rule over us, but we don't want to, who we follow is going to end up deciding if we go in the ditch, if we stay on that straight and narrow path. The preaching that we sit under, the teaching that we hear, the books that we read, the radio we listen to, the shows that we do, that stuff ends up affecting us and steers our life in one direction or the other. In Luke chapter 6, we see that. He said, can the blind lead the blind? We're in verse 39. Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. If we're following somebody else, and in some cases, for sure, we're called to be submissive to the leaders in the church. We're following people. And if we listen, if we learn, if we're disciples of someone, if they're teaching, we're going to become like them. As we become perfect, as we become, you know, more and more perfect in their teachings, we're going to be like our master. And so it really depends who we follow on how we're going to become. We can't just listen to something. If I was going to listen to a radio program day after day after day after day, that's going to start being my thinking. It's going to influence me. And if I'm following somebody that's blind, I'm going to end up in the ditch. And so we seriously have to think about who we're listening to, who we're following, and we're going to see some ways that we can judge that we can look at, you know, leaders and teachers. And God's provided pastors. He's provided teachers in the church. He provided people that have a gift of expounding the Scriptures and explaining it. But we have to be careful and look at their lives to know, are they leading in a right direction? Because as they are, if we're their disciples, we're going to become like them. We don't want to both fall into the ditch. Even inside the church, there are those, the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, they thought they were rich. They thought they were increased with goods, the Bible says, and they had need of nothing. And they knew not that they were wretched, they were miserable, they were poor, and they were blind, and they were naked. But they were blind in that church. So just because we come inside church buildings, just because, you know, somebody professes the name of Christ, does not mean that that person is walking by faith, walking in the light of Jesus Christ. So we could still follow those that are blind. So we must be careful. We must be discerning on who we listen to as Christians. So how do we know if somebody's walking in the light? How do we know if their teaching is sound? How do we know if we should follow them, if this is the blind leading the blind, or if this is truly somebody that's expounding, if it's one of these pastors or preachers or teachers that God has provided to help us in our growth. Because we want people to come help us take the motes out of our eye. And that's what we're going to see here in just a little bit. We want somebody to take a mote out of our eye that's taken the beam out of theirs that can see clearly. We don't want a blind person spiritually to be taking motes out of our eye. Somebody that doesn't know, doesn't understand. I wouldn't trust that lady to do anything to me. So how do we know? And that's where we come to verses 41 and 42. It says, "Why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Either how can thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in thine own eye?" Now that would make you blind. To have a beam in your own eye, that if you're following somebody that has a beam in their eye, they can't see where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. And they're going to try to help you. Now it says, "Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." So how can we know if we're following, if we're listening to, if we're sitting in church? Because not everybody is going to be preachers. If we all were preachers, everybody would be preaching to nobody. Right? We all have our little church and we preach to nobody. So there are, God has provided some pastors, some teachers, some with gifts in administration, some with gifts in this and that. And so how do we know this person? And I believe the Bible teaches that we can know them by their fruits. In Matthew chapter 7, which is the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." He said, "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So how can you tell a false prophet? They look like a sheep, they're dressed like a sheep, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. How do we know that? We can know it by their fruits. And that's also what we see in Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Jesus said, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes." So we can know somebody by the fruits of their life. We know a tree is an apple tree because it produces apples. Roy knows a tree because he sees it and says, "That's a silver maple or something." But I would know an apple tree is an apple tree because it brings apples. I would know a cherry tree is a cherry tree because it brings cherries. Somebody could tell me it's an apple tree, and if it never produces apples year after year, I'd have to say, "How do we know it's an apple tree?" Not any apple tree I know of. Apple trees produce apples. Right? So we also can examine the fruit of somebody's life. A Christian is going to produce fruit that is consistent with a Christian. That's consistent with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, self-control, those things. We can judge the fruit of somebody's life to know if that's somebody we can follow. There could be somebody that can get up and can give a great speech, can give a great sermon, can really get to your emotions and make all kinds of sense, and you're like, I like that teach, I'm following that. But in their life, we see the fruits in their life, and it's not consistent with the Word of God. I would give you that, following that person, putting yourself under that teaching, is following a blind person. And by following that, if we listen to that over and over and over, we're going to become like that. And He will lead us into the ditch, even people inside the church. And so we must look at the fruits of a life. That's why it's so important to be in a local fellowship as well, because you guys can see, if you're sitting under my preaching, you know, you can see the fruits of my life, and if it's not consistent with the Word of God, you know, just talk to the elders and they get rid of me, right? But on radio, we can't see what John MacArthur, what he does. We don't never talk to him. We don't know the fruits. We can say, "Yeah, it's a good sermon. Seems to make sense." But it helps to know the fruits of somebody's life. I think of a lot of believers will listen to like shows like Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck or those things. Okay, we look at Rush Limbaugh. If we listen to Rush Limbaugh, for example, I'm not really knowledgeable about him. I don't listen to him that often. But if you would listen to him for over and over every day, we're going to start taking some of those things. We're going to start acting like him. And the few things I have heard, I think his mouth's pretty harsh. He'll say some things, you know, pretty mean-spirited towards some things. Not what I would think the fruit of a Christian would be. And so we can examine that, you know, Rush Limbaugh, the words he says, the way he says it, the things he does, is that good fruit? And if it's not good fruit, we want to examine that. We don't want to put ourselves under that teaching, because if we listen to it day after day after day, that's going to naturally be what we think. We're going to start doing those things. So I think everybody we listen to, everybody we follow and put ourselves under, we have to examine the fruit of their lives, the fruit of their mouth, as we'll see in a little bit. And specifically, when Jesus talked to these people in Judea about, you know, following people and the blind leading the blind, usually he was talking about the Pharisees. Go to Matthew 23. And we know the Pharisees were a group of people that they knew the Old Testament. They knew their Bibles. They knew tradition, maybe even more than the Bible. They knew what the tradition of their elders said. They had answers. If you had a question, they could have the right doctrinal answer. They could give you the reason why they believe that it says so here and there. They had that, but they were like whitewashed, painted graves, sepulchres. They were clean on the outside, but inside there was dead men's bones. They were like washed cups on the outside, but inwardly the cups were dirty. And so on the outside they looked like they had it all together, but inwardly they were not. And so Jesus called them blind guides. And that's what we see when he talks about the blind leading the blind. We see in Matthew 23, verse 13, he says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," Matthew 23, 13, "hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." They were keeping people out of heaven, keeping themselves out and keeping other people out by their traditions. He says in verse 16, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever swore by the temple," and so forth. He calls them blind guides. Verse 17, "Ye fools and blind." Verse 19, "Ye fools and blind." We come over here to verse 24. "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." He calls these Pharisees over and over blind guides, blind people. "They strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." And so we know definitely when Jesus talked about those that were blind and following the blind, he was definitely saying at his time there were these Pharisees that on the outside they were clean, but inside they were dirty. And he said, blind Pharisee, first clean up that which was within. Which is basically the same as saying, hey, first, you hypocrite, take the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly and take the mote out of somebody else's eye. Turn to Matthew 15 with me real quick. Back a few pages to Matthew 15. At that time, there were those Pharisees that people could follow, and they would end up falling into that same ditch. And they must discern the fruits of the Pharisee's life to know. Matthew 15, verse 10, we'll start with. Matthew 15, verse 10. "And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." So there specifically he saw in the Pharisees, blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. They had problem with him saying that the things that come out of your mouth are what defile you, not what goes in. The Pharisees were worried about washing of cups and platters and outward little things like that. The tithing of mint and cumin and anise. But they omitted the weightier things like judgment, law, and mercy. They omitted the weightier things of like what words come out of your mouth. They had a problem when Jesus said it's the words that come out of your mouth that defile you. Because we know down in verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." So the Pharisees were fine on these outward things and you're washing a cup and washing your hands and these kind of things, but actually the things that would come out of their mouth were not love, were not judgment, was not mercy. And that was what Jesus was telling them to judge, to see, to inspect the fruit of those people's lives, and don't follow those blind leaders of the blind. Go back to Luke chapter 6, if you would. So Luke chapter 6, he had said, you know, don't follow the blind. It'd be like, don't fall into the ditch. Don't put yourself under these people, otherwise you will be like them. They'll lead you into the ditch. We need to be with each other. We need to be able to take motes out of each other's eye. We need to do these things, but you need to put yourself under godly people, and by their fruits you shall know them. A good tree doesn't bring forth evil fruit. We come to verse 45. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So the fruit of a good man, of a godly man, is going to be good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So you can see Jesus in all the Gospels preaching this same message, that it's not the washing of the hands, it's not the washing of the cups, it's those things that are inside of us. Jesus, God, looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. God has cared about the heart, but we also can judge the heart. We can know these things because what comes out of the mouth, that betrays what's in somebody's heart. The Bible says that our speech should be always with grace. Our speech should be seasoned with salt, that you should know how you ought to answer every man. And that we can know from a Christian, from somebody we want to put ourselves under and listen to and to learn from and say, that's somebody that I can grow. And we can all, I can listen to many pastors and preachers and teachers and authors and learn and grow, but we can judge them by their words. We can see, is their speech always with grace? Is it seasoned with salt? And not everybody's going to be perfect. We have to have grace and forgive. We know that, you know, people will slip up. But if it's a pattern that somebody's harsh with their tongue, somebody's hateful with their lips, somebody's always gossiping, somebody's always backbiting, somebody's always doing these things, that's somebody we ought not to put ourselves under. Because sooner or later, we're going to be like, the Bible says, our master, and we're going to be, the disciples going to be like their master, and we're both going to go into the ditch. So we must be careful. We must look at the fruits of somebody's life to know if that's somebody we should listen to. Because that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If there's not good fruit coming out of their mouth, we shouldn't follow them, lest we be like them, and lest we fall also into a ditch. Now, let's take a little bit of break from that and just look at ourselves. Okay, our mouths, our words. Because the Bible says, out of our hearts, out of the abundance of our hearts, the overflow of our heart, that's where our mouth speaks. So our mouth speaks words that come from our heart. How many times do we say things, you know, and Lord willing, we don't do this, but we say something rude or mean to somebody else, and we say, oh, I was just kidding. No, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Most of the time, somebody says, I was just kidding. They really meant it, and then they realize what they said, and they want to cover up. We can judge ourselves by our words. Right? We tend to be very forgiving of ourselves as well. We say something wrong. We say something rude. We say something gossipy. We say something hateful. We say something that's not seasoned with salt, with grace. And we say, oh, well, I know what I meant. I didn't mean it that way. We forgive ourselves very easily. But if we just judge ourselves first, then we ourselves would not be judged. If we judge ourselves most harshly and take the beam out of our own eye first, then we can then rightly help one another, which we should be doing. But if we judge ourselves by our words, if we're saying things, if we're gossiping, don't forgive. Don't just overlook and say, well, I didn't really mean it. I don't do that all the time. Yes, if out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we must look at our own lives. And the Bible, God's going to look at our words. The Bible says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Our words are important because the words show us what's in our heart. Words aren't just meaningless things. That's why the Bible says in James 1:19, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak and slow to wrath. Right? We should be slow to speak. Think about those words. If any man seem to be religious, but bridleth not his own tongue, his religion is vain, the Bible says. So our mouth is important. Our words are important. We don't just speak just all kinds of things and just forgive ourselves and say, well, wait, that's not really what's in my heart. That is in our heart. And if our hearts, we can judge ourselves and we can see that our words betray us and our hearts are evil, our hearts are corrupt. And like David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. We can come to God in repentance. We don't just keep going on with life and say, well, that's fine. I'm really a good person. I know that's really not me. If we're saying it, it is us. We can pray to God, though, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in it within me. So we don't want to fool ourselves. We don't want to justify ourselves. We don't want to have that blind spot in our eye. Examine our words on a daily basis. And if our words are corrupt, we need to take that beam out of our eye. Judge ourselves, examine ourselves. Let's continue on and finish up chapter 6. Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord? and do not the things which I say. We should call him Lord. He said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, he knows that he's our Lord. He is our Master. But why would we call him Lord and not do the things that he says? That means we're calling in something, we're doing others. We're not really treating him as our Lord. If we call him Lord, we need to read the things he says, and we need to do the things he says. He is our final authority. The words of Christ are our final authority. That doesn't just mean the words in red, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Right? Every one of these printed words proceeded out of the mouth of God, and God has preserved them from the generation that they were written forever. And so we have no excuse like, well, we don't know what God says. We know what God says. He says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Many of the things that he says here in Luke chapter 6, in this Sermon on the Plain, rejoicing when we're persecuted, loving your enemies, praying for them that use you, turning the other cheek, offering them your cloak also when somebody sues you, doing to people as you would have them do unto you, lending to them you hoping not to receive, forgiving. These kind of things, many people that have the name Christian do not do. Why? He says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and don't do these things? You know what I said. It's very clear what he says. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So here we can read again Luke chapter 6. We can read the whole Bible. We don't want to fool ourselves and deceive ourselves and say, he's our Lord, but we don't do the things that he said. Many people will come during that day saying, Lord, Lord, did we not do these things? Did we not prophesy in your name? He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. So just because we call him Lord doesn't mean anything. We must do those things that he says. And Jesus continues here at the end of Luke chapter 6. He said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's wrapping up this sermon on the plain. He's given him lots of instruction, hard teachings. But he said, if you hear these things and you do them, I'll show you what you're like. You're like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. If we build our lives on the solid foundation of God's Word. But the Bible says building it is when we hear it and do it. It's not just hearing. We don't want to just be hearers only, but doers of the Word as well. Being doers of the Word is building our lives on a solid foundation, building our house on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, if we hear the words of God, if we read the Bible, if we hear it preached, and we know what it means, and we don't do it, I'll tell you what he's like. It said, it's like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. Just built a house out on the ground. Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We want to build our lives, build everything we do on the teachings of Jesus Christ, on the Word of God. We want to hear it, and we want to do it. And by doing that, we're building our lives on a solid rock. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right? Before, when we were blind, we built our lives on a foundation of the wisdom of the world, which is foolishness with God. If we do that, the ruin of our lives is going to be very great. We don't want to build our lives on the teachings of those that are blind, that from the fruit in their life we can see that they're blind. We want to examine people by their fruits, by their words that betray them, and put ourselves under those that we see consistent fruit that lines up with the Word of God. We have to be sober and vigilant, because we know as Christians our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about trying to devour us. We don't want to be ignorant of his devices. We know that inside the church there are false prophets. There are people that look like sheep, look like Christians, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So we must examine everything. We must prove everything and hold fast that which is good. We must look at ourselves, examine our words that come out of our mouth. Take the beam out of our own eyes, so that then we can also, there's a time the Bible says that we are also to be teachers of others. So we're going to grow as Christians, and we want to examine ourselves, take the beam out of our eyes, examine our words, so that we then can be qualified and we can help teach others. And we want to carefully judge the fruit in our lives, carefully judge the fruit in others' life, lest they lead us into a ditch. We always build our life on the foundation of God's Word, in obeying God's Word and hearing His Word and doing it. Let's call Him Lord, and let's also do the things that He says. Let us bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your words. Thank you for these pure words, these words that show us the truth, that are light, these words that give life, these words that are clear. Lord, help us each to obey these words and to look at ourselves first, to judge ourselves. Lord, if our words that we say, if our speech is not with grace, seasoned with salt, Lord, help us to repent of that. Help us to have fruit that's consistent with your word, with what your Holy Spirit produces in us. And Lord, I pray that we would become, each of us, become Christians that we could help out others, that we could lead and guide others, disciple others, that the older women could teach the younger women, that the older men could teach the younger men, and so forth. Lord, help us to do that. But help us to get there by first judging ourselves, taking beams out of our eye. Lord, help us to, through your Holy Spirit, through your empowerment, to be able to keep the words that you say, to be able to obey these things. And Lord, where we fail, help us to seek you in repentance and ask for forgiveness and to go and to sin no more and to do your will, Lord. Pray that you would be with each one of us. Be with us today. Lord, keep us safe as we shoot bows and arrows. And help us just to live a good day as a community of believers. Be with those coming over from Grand Island. I ask that you keep them safe. I ask that you also be with the Montgomery family and Jay as he ministers to them. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.